I think I'm supposed to do something, but I'm going to do it because usually I wait for, I hear my, don't panic, it's organic, but hey, here it goes. It's a brand new song. I haven't really given it a name yet, so I just wrote, what? It's that spacey thing, ain't it? So, my name is Andy Lopez. I'm known as the Invisible Gardener, and there should be another person. Who are you that I keep talking to on the other line?
It's your co-host, Deborah.
Oh, hi, Deborah. Deborah Emerson, like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Or Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Yeah, we went over that before. I like Ralph Waldo Emerson. I actually have one of his books.
Doesn't everybody?
I did a report on him in school. Him and Emily Dickinson.
Oh, Emily Dickinson. Yeah, she's a poet.
Yeah, I like the headless carriage horse. The headless horse carriage. I still can't forget it.
Well, how are you, Andy? How was your week?
My week.
I
don't know about my week, but my strong is doing good.
Your what?
Strong. You say, how's my week? I have a strong.
Okay.
Good. Right? Strong, weak? Weak and strong.
Strong,
you get
weak.
It?
Yep.
No?
It's they're opposites.
Yeah, right. So, listen, before I forget, you got my little format for the show?
I do. We have a new format that we're going to try out here on Don't Panic, It's Organic. So have patience with us.
Okay, so look, you want to give out the phone numbers and how people can call, can contact me. Us,
yes, guess, please, if you're listening and you want to call in, ask a question, make a comment, say something, sing a song, call at 888-627-6008. And that's toll-free, no charge to you. Our engineer, Don, will get the phone call and pass you to us. Or you can Skype in questions if you're really shy. And you can Skype it in at Radio PR.
Say that again.
BBS Radio PR.
Yeah.
So, folks,
cool.
Tell us you're out there. We'd love to hear from you.
Interestingly enough, I've been getting not only emails, but lately, you know, how people are creative and how we can communicate with each other. And nowadays with the internet thing going on, I wonder what I do with that. There is so one of the ways that I've been getting email from is from Instagram. So just about 10 minutes before the show, I got two emails on Instagram because lately I've discovered Instagram, you know, so I have Instagram. Yeah, you know Instagram, right?
Yeah, I don't have an Instagram account, but yeah, I know what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you're
but...
supposed to be my social person, so you had better know Instagram because you have to take a look at it. Because Instagram is cool, so I started putting pictures, and next thing you know, I could put videos up there. They're
yes.
expanded. It's really nice. But anyway,
I
put up a picture, you know, so I'm actually starting to, I had thought you were doing it, and since you're not, you're going to have to because this is obviously a really cool way to talk about the show or for people because what's happening is this, I got two questions.
Yeah, what were they?
For the show through here because, hey, I know you do the show. And listen, here it is. Here's the question. So there's two questions coming from two different people on Instagram. And then I'm also getting on the website some comments about questions also. And then one lady left me a question on my phone, you know, left a message as a question. I don't answer the phone anymore. So if you're calling, you have to leave a message and I call you back. Actually, what happens is I have an 800 number, so people who call the 800 numbers and you're selling something, you won't get through. But if you're a real person, all you have to do is push the buttons that it tells you to push to get to me, and I'm happy to talk to you. But most salespeople won't even press the 1 or the 2, whatever it is, to connect with me, you know. So I know that then I get – anyway. So there's some questions I want to talk over. Plus, I have – three more questions that I got over the week from between now and last time and this time. And so I think what we're going to, when the format we're going to do is we're going to do what we're going to talk about. Right now we have a few minutes. We usually give ourselves 10 minutes to say hi. What the heck is going on? Who are you? What are we doing here? And what happened to my clothing? This morning I woke up.
And I'm in a hot tub, so.
Yeah, it's like, what is going on here? I would say, boy, the mushrooms were really good.
Boy, were they.
It reminds me of one party I went to in high school. No, it wasn't high school. It was junior high school, where you spend all overnight. I got up the next morning. I had a pink underwear on. I'm going, oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
I'm going, oh, no, I don't know. And now my friends were teasing me. You know, hey, nice. I'm going, oh, gee whiz. I never did find what happened. I don't know. So anyway, you have 10 minutes to tell people what's going on. I have a lot of things going on. We're going to be having a rock dust party coming up.
That's going to be exciting. Do we all get to come to the party that we're inviting a whole bunch of people, right?
Yeah, right. Because I think Don had said we can have 10 people on, you know. Calling, you know, I mean, that he would set up. And I'm sure it's probably, I don't know if he can let multiple people on at the same time to call, you know, at the same time, or they would just have to call and be on. But basically what I wanted to do is have as many people on as a guest at the same time as we can that have to do with rock dust. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get them to be on initially by themselves on one of these shows. So once a month, you're going to have somebody around. Either has to do with what we're doing is we're setting up a guest at least once a month, a guest, right? Right.
Yes, in October we have a guest who's going to be talking about rock dust, Thomas Vanacore. He's his company is called Rock Dust Local. It's in Vermont, and he ships this stuff all around the United States. So he's going to come on and talk
to
us.
To ship.
He's going to send you some samples so you can
rock dust are not light, you know. They're rocks, right? They're heavy.
Well, yeah, but he can still send you some samples. Right?
I'm having one of my most watched videos on YouTube is like 500,000 hits, and it's how to use rock dust. And so their main complaint is we want more information on rock dust and how to use it and how to blend it. I've been promoting rock dust since the very beginning when I started doing as a kid I didn't have rock dust. But I knew about minerals and food and stuff like that. So I would try to get it from other usual sources that normal people would, you know, if they get it from the eggshells or they get it from when I used to go out to the country. I used to go out to the countryside with my dad to, I don't know if I told you this, about getting fruit. My dad would get in the car and we would drive down to Homestead and go to the farmer's market or different places sell fruit, right?
Yeah,
did I mention that?
This was in Florida, right? Andy?
Yeah, right.
In
Hialeah, Florida, where we lived, we used to drive out. My dad would get in the car. We would drive out to Homestead. And on the way there, when Homestead had the farmer's market, really cool. We walked around. You get stuff pretty cheap, fruit, you know, from different places down from the Keys. I don't know, remember if it was coming from Cuba or not, but there seemed to be a lot of fruit from all over the place. On the way there, too, and another, you always pass all these farmers who are selling stuff, too. They have little stands out, you know, buying mangoes and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, we have that up here, too. Yeah.
So when I did my gardening, I had that as an opportunity. That's one of the main reasons I got my dad to go. I was like, okay, I need stuff. I can't buy it in the store. Right, so I would buy it from the farmers directly from them, make a deal. Hey, what are you using? Well, I'm using this stuff. Oh, cool. Can I get it from you, too? Yeah. So I told you about a guy named Ebersol, and he had the most amazing fruit. You name the fruit, whether it be mango, a lychee, a giant lychee tree. You know what lychees are?
I've never tasted one. I've heard of them.
They're really exotic fruit. I think that...
is it like a kiwi?
Kiwi. Smaller, round, reddish, and it's got like little spikes all over it.
Oh, little bumps. Yeah, I have seen pictures of it. I've never tasted it, though.
It's called lychee. And in Florida, of course, we have their seasons. We go through different fruits. And you can go literally year-round eating stuff, different things all year-round. And when I lived in Central America, it's even more so because it's like what winter time? Hey, we're in our winter time right now, right? You know what I mean? And I lived in all up and down the Central America, and where the Belize, Guatemala, Nicaragua.
You lived in all these places, Andy?
Not for a long time, but you know, I'm not as a resident. Like for example, in Costa Rica, I lived in a place called Cahuita, which was. And it's a little village between Puerto Limon, which is the main port there. Like, I used to go from Mobile, Alabama. Wait a second. Okay, look. Your job is not to encourage me to be talking, because I can do this for hours, and then I get the program then.
Bad girl.
Honestly, I used to talk for hours, because I used to go to Costa Rica all the time, and I used to go from Mobile, Alabama. I knew the captain of the ship, so I would put my van on it. Instead of driving down through the Mexico, you have to go through each border patrol thing, each border, checkpoint and all this stuff. I would take the boat directly to Costa Rica and get off in Puerto Limon, another big port. They had cars and all kinds of ship things, but I would take then I would drive my van to my little property, which was down the road, a little village called Cahuita. And it was right off the coast and had fresh water and had mangoes. And
I worked for Chiquita. What were you doing there? I mean, were you working? Were you vacationing? Or why were you there?
I worked for Chiquita Bananas.
No.
Remember Chiquita Bananas? It's a good for you. Yeah, they had 40,000 acres of bananas and mangoes.
What did you do there?
Well, interesting enough, I didn't work for the, let me explain. So when I bought the property in Cahuita, 18 hectares, okay? 18 hectares is, I don't know, it's similar to acres, but I think their acres are a little bigger. So
do you still have the property there?
Well, in Costa Rica, you have to be there to own it. And if you can own it and leave, but if somebody moves in and they claim rights to it, it'd be very difficult to take away. See?
Wow, I had no idea. There's no legal rights that you can. Wow.
Right. So I had a girlfriend at that time. So and she was a local. So I gave it to her. I said, here.
Oh.
And I was supposed to come back, but I never did come back. I said, I may come back. I may not come back. I don't know. I had to come back and see my kid being born, because my kid was born in Boulder, Colorado. The mother said, God is the father, and you're not it. And I just said, what the heck? I'm going to go see him anyway. And so I was from Costa Rica, I just went back. But that's so I lived in Costa Rica for a long time, yeah. And from there, I kind of went to Panama. I went to Nicaragua. I for a long time I would just hitchhike up and back down, but then the cops and everybody got used to, they would see me and they would put me in jail. I said, I didn't do anything. I know you didn't do anything, but we don't want you Americans running up and down our countryside, because I had a backpack on, you know, right?
And your van was called Jezebel.
No, and so that's when I got the van. I said, they don't stop me when I have a van.
It was an old hippie van, folks.
Well, it was really, it was a hippie looking van, and I had cut the top off, and I used
painted it. Pink and yellow. And
they would say, Americano, you give me all your money. Oh, I screw you up. And I tell them in Spanish that I'm a black wizard, and I'll turn them a frog if they touch me, and they leave me alone.
Well, I think that's fascinating.
So listen, today I'm going to talk about mosquitoes.
Yay.
Right? And you know, what's going on with the mosquito world thing, right? In the world about mosquitoes, right?
Well, I read your blog and I found it fascinating. I had no idea that there was this mosquito out there that is so dangerous.
Here's what's going on. So as we're having our climate change, the world's getting warmer and the mosquito areas are spreading. So we're doing a bunch of different things wrong at the same time, because we're making a climate change, right, so it gets warmer, but at the same time, because of toxins, we're killing off all the natural predators that the mosquitoes would normally have. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, we're making humans and animals sicker, and birds, which is perfect for the mosquitoes to attack. See what I'm saying? And then we're spraying the mosquitoes with chemicals, which one mosquito becomes immune to that. All the babies of the mosquitoes are immune to that. And you can spray all you want to, and that mosquito will say, ha, ha, you're not getting it. Right? Right?
Right, right.
And so that's the mosquito thing has been going on for quite a while because, you know, Zika and all these different people don't like to get bit by mosquitoes. This has been like in Miami. I'm from Florida. We had they had malathion spraying of the whole city for mosquitoes. Malathion spray, malathion.
That's incredible.
And they do that in lots of other places, and not just in the United States. They're still using malathion to some extent. I mean, they banned it. But you can go to you can buy it from other countries and ship it back. And you can actually go to a store and buy it from because it comes from another country and it's supposed to be banned. But there it is; it's in the ingredients. A lot of it's in the inert ingredient as well. Mm-hmm. And all the third world countries are going, well, how are we going to survive without malathion? You guys got rid of the malaria, used malathion to kill it. So why can't we do that, right? So the mosquito problem has been going on for a really, really long time. I have a book, How to Keep Mosquitoes from Biting You.
And where you go, Florida is perfect for mosquitoes, right?
Florida is mosquito haven, right?
Yes.
So it's parts of Texas. And nowadays with the weather expanding, more the heat and more rain and stuff, mosquitoes. Like right now the hurricane is going on over there in North Carolina and South Carolina, right?
Yes.
Well, those conditions are perfect for mosquito breeding. See? You know what I'm saying? Right?
Well, mosquito. Know, it says that the Asian tiger mosquito, which you're going to be telling us about, was first documented in the United States in Texas in 1985. And then a year later, the Asian tiger mosquito was found in Florida at a tire dump site near Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So it goes back that far, but I guess they thought they eradicated it.
Yeah.
The vector control people.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
No, they didn't. And the reason for that is because this mosquito is very different than the normal mosquitoes, which I call normal mosquitoes, but they lay water in the eggs. Oh, eggs in the... They lay eggs in the water. Sorry. Right?
Right, right. So tell us why these are different.
Well, they don't need to lay eggs in the water. They attach
they
eggs
do,
to.
They do though. I mean, they still do.
Well, they don't lay eggs in the water. They attach their eggs to anything, underneath the buckets, on the side of things. They don't need to be in the water.
Tire.
Huh? What?
They lay their eggs in a tire dump site. You know, that's where.
Right. Well, so they will lay their eggs in any place and attach it to it. Not just all eggs, but eggs will be spread out all over the place in different areas. And all they need, and they could be there for years before they hatch. All they need is the right conditions, i.e. would be a lot of water, for example. If their eggs were anywhere in North or South Carolina and it rained for days and days and days, well, that's enough to get them to hatch. Same thing with over here. Same thing over here in Southern California or Texas. So we're going through a drought, but they'll make it through the drought as opposed to the other mosquitoes won't. See, their larvae will die. These will survive for years, and when it gets wet enough or long enough, there they hatch. And then when they start growing, they will do the cycle all over again, tend to survive, but they go after people. See,
yeah,
right?
They're aggressive biters, right?
Right. Well, like think of a tiger, you know. and the way
that's
they.
That's the name, the Asian tiger.
Right, so the way they do is as opposed to the normal, I say regular, regular mosquitoes.
There's a question.
I'm not going to answer this one. I can't do it.
I can't believe people call you during the show.
This person I know, but he knows I do a radio show.
Of course
so they do this on purpose, right? They do this on purpose because they say, Andy's doing a radio show. I'm going to call right now in his show and ring in his show, and I'm going to call him up later and say, hey, where are you? Anyway, the normal mosquitoes, they tend to drink blood, and they try to get as much as they can. You can a lot easier to kill, but the Asian tiger will take a little sip and attack, take a little sip and dash and run around. It makes it a lot harder to get. See,
well, they're
right?
attracted to the human smell. Isn't that correct?
Right, so that's another interesting thing too that I discovered. Did you know that mosquitoes go after meat eaters more than vegans?
I read that and I had no idea. That's a really interesting thing.
That's a fact. And that's a fact. It's not like you're making it up all because, you know, no, it's because of the carbon dioxide that meteors give off, the certain odor that they give off from eating the meat. It gets actually transferred, it goes out through your skin. And the mosquitoes are keyed into certain odors. That's how they know it's you.
So when somebody says, I get bit a lot, they must like my blood.
Right. So they don't. It's not necessarily the blood, because they know that if you smell a certain way, their blood's going to be a certain way.
Interesting.
See, right? And so the key here is not to let them find you. Right?
Well,
if they can't find you, they can't bite you, right?
But that's impossible. You're outside and, you know.
So there's two things I'm trying to get across in this show today, in this 5 minutes or 10 minutes we're talking about this thing here, is that one of them is, if they can't find you, they can't bite you.
Or,
that's one important. The other thing is how to kill them without using the chemicals. And I'll give you and they both are tied in together, interestingly enough, okay? And
okay.
If you want me, I'll tell you, because I've been telling people that there's an incredibly simple, easy, simple, non-toxic way of controlling them, the mosquitoes. But usually, there's always like the law of cause and effect. There's a reason why things happen, the cause and then the effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so mosquitoes are just an effect, not the cause. We want to deal with the cause.
What?
Well, why they're attacking you in the first place, or why they're there, and what, you know, the whole situation of the cause, what causes them to expand, which is the climate change, but they're attacking you, they're attacking they're going, basically, their job is to go after unhealthy, to them means good food, good blood.
So they actually eat the blood that they suck from you?
Right.
That's like nutrients,
right,
for them?
Right. Yeah, exactly right.
And they bite domestic animals along with wildlife as well?
Some varieties don't go after animals, only after humans. Some varieties only go after animals, not humans. See, right? So they tend to they evolve over time depending upon what's going on in their little local environment, kind of thing. Okay, but here's the thing that is so. First of all, you know, it all has to do with health. So that's why they say, you know, the weak, the unhealthy, the senior citizens, those people whose health are already compromised, they're going to get attacked.
Is that true?
Yeah, you talk to any doctor, and not only that, but, you know, it's a twofold thing. They'll attack you for your blood, but at the same time, they'll pass on something to your body, because you're so weak, you're going to get anything, whether it be the one disease or this problem, right?
If you were stronger in your body and whatnot, and a mosquito attacked you, would you not get the disease?
Right, exactly right.
Okay.
It's like your body will just... Go ahead. Give it a try. It won't work. As a matter of fact, the mosquito won't attack you in the first place. That's this basic principle that I do with trees. That's what has to do with one of the questions that the people, one of these people on Instagram has, because they talked about, both of them are talking about the same similar problem. One lady has, I'm assuming it's a lady, I can't tell. You know how they have these weird names?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're a lady.
Don't know what gender.
Right. I don't know what, but it says it has to do with emerald ash borer. And the other person wants to know about bagworms. Okay.
Bag
so both worms. Of them,
what are those?
Bagworms, both of them, they're being attacked by a pest, right?
Hmm.
Right?
I guess so.
Yeah. Well, you know, the emerald ash borer is a pest attacking the emerald ashes, and the bagworms are basically that. They're worms, but they make big bags up in the tree, and they're both attacking the tree, right?
Right.
So I like making up stuff, you know.
No, you so, don't. You're very scientific, folks. Don't
no, what
that.
I mean by making up stuff is I like to make up little like Jesus would make up little things, right? Little bread and
okay.
All this stuff, right?
You're
so
creative.
I tell.
Just say you're creative.
I'm creative, right, and try to get people to understand. So basically, I tell people that if it's food, so when a bug attacks a tree or a plant or a pest attack a person, it's food
mm-hmm.
for them. So if it's let me see if I get it straight. If it's food for the pest, it's not food for us. That's what I would tell people about, for example, your vegetables or your fruit trees, things like that that you normally would eat, right? So something you're growing to eat, if a bug goes and attacks it, there's something wrong with it. And I would look at it and see, because if you normally you would eat that and that wouldn't be attacked by bugs, that tells you that there's something working right. That's the way it works for me. I had something interesting happen to me the other day. You want to know?
I do. What
Okay,
happened to you?
so Muhammad Ali said, rather than looking at the deer, you know how a deer stops in the headlight of a
Yes,
car?
yes. They're frozen.
I would ask, what is that road doing going through the middle of the forest?
Yes.
See, right? So I look at things differently. I would say, well, gee, that bug is attacking for a reason. And that's it's not because, oh, I'm just gonna go. No, it's because it's food for it. And when it's and it only becomes food for it. It's the same thing with all of the animal plant kingdom, is when there's a trace mineral deficiency.
So children and old folks and compromised people with ill health are the ones that are food.
Right, and the reason, and not necessarily children, because a healthy child will react to it differently than a child who's weakened, has their system, health system already weakened.
Right,
You
right.
know, I know of a couple that live, I'm not going to say where, but they smoke cigarettes during their pregnancy, before the pregnancy, during the pregnancy, and after having a child. And the mother of the kid said the baby smells like tobacco. You know that that baby's system is under extreme stress. What
Yeah.
happened to that? Do we have two different? I don't know what's going on here, but my computer is right. So, and so if you're under, if your
Is that
body is
eco?
under,
I thought I heard EcoCat.
well,
That's EcoCat. Hi, EcoCat.
hi. I was just coming by, and I don't know what was going on. So I look and see, what's going on? What's going on? I'm naked, by the way. I just take a shower. I'm just have the towel behind me. I don't know.
Well, go back and chase the butterflies and put Andy back on.
Okay. Anyway, I'm coming back on really soon. People have been asking for me.
I know, I've been asking.
Yeah, well, I
I
took a
love
vacation. I
EcoCat.
took a vacation in an island. I took all my friends with me, and Andy Eco
You're
Dog is there,
amazing.
and a bunch of, yeah. We're having a really good time. This is wonderful. I didn't know I liked rats. Rats are so yummy to eat. Oh, baked rat. Oh.
I thought you
But
liked butterflies, though.
I don't eat butterflies. I like butterflies. We're friends. We get along. I have a whole bunch of butterfly friends. The
Oh,
black
that's
ones and
nice.
red ones
Yeah.
and yeah. I gotta
You
go now.
have.
I have to go pee.
Okay,
Bye,
bye,
Eagle Cat.
EcoCat. Come back soon.
He's coming back soon too. I keep telling him come on, but he's scared of the dragon. And the dragon's over there. I already ate half of his buddies, and I told him he's not supposed to eat the cats. I said, "What's the deal? You're sure we're all I'm one family here?" And he says, "I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know." I'm going, "Ah, he's going to be coming on too. You haven't seen him, have you?"
No, I haven't seen the dragon. No, but
Well, if you
we'll meet him in the
if
future.
you go up to on Facebook, there's a video section where all the videos are at that you do. He's up there, so because I did the I did a interview just like I did you. What do you call it when you do a tryout, right?
An audition.
Audition, exactly right. So I had all these animals audition, and these are the winners. So
Aww.
Andy Eco Dog is up there. His audition is up there. The dragon is up there. I forgot his name already because everybody's scared, but we just call him the dragon, you know.
Yeah.
His audition is up there. Of course, Eco Cat's audition is up there. There are a few other auditions that you'll find interesting that are up there.
So is Eco Cat and Eco Dog, are they friends?
Yeah, they're both friends. They share the same little sleepy bed space, and they don't
Aw.
know that they're one's a cat and one's a dog. I
They
haven't
don't
don't
know? Yeah, that's
no,
great. That's
and
wonderful.
the dog thinks he's a cat, so I'm not gonna, you know.
And the cat thinks it's part of it, it looks out and sees a dog, so it probably thinks it
The
looks like
cat
us.
doesn't, Eco Cat doesn't know it's a dog. I told him it was a cat.
Oh, I
I
see.
told him that, you know, they're different, mom and dad. I found him. So we're brothers, you know. Anyway, listen, so.
Going back to the mosquito
Right.
problem.
And so
How
when
can
I
we
was in,
control them?
listen, when I was in school, I was a brat. Can you imagine that?
It's hard
I
to
was bad.
imagine.
I was bad. So one of the things I did was I would have a garlic sandwich.
A what?
Garlic sandwich. So
what is that?
Well, see, it being part Cuban, we always had a lot of fried garlic. My mom and dad would make fried garlic this and fried garlic that and garlic oil and garlic butter and garlic.
I know that your mom was from Cuba, but your dad was that where they met in Cuba?
I don't know if they met in Cuba or if they met in New York. No, they didn't meet in New York because I did the genealogy thing that shows them on the boat to New York together. So they must have met.
But they're both Cuban, right?
Either in Cuba or Puerto Rico, right?
Because I always thought you were Puerto Rican.
My mother's from Puerto Rico and my dad's from Cuba, right?
Okay.
I did the genealogy thing. It says that I'm one quarter from American Indian from Florida.
Okay. Wait, let's get back to the garlic sandwich. I've never heard of this.
Right. So one
so
day I
fried garlic and whatnot, right?
You know, I ate a lot of garlic because my family always had a lot of garlic and everything. I love garlic. I would go out there and just take a garlic bulb and eat it. I realized soon that you smell like garlic for a long time.
Children don't normally like garlic. I hated garlic as a child.
Well, my brothers hated it too, but they didn't do any other gardening things. And my mother told me, okay, I found you on the doorstep. That's why you're different. I'm the only vegetarian in the crowd. I mean, I'm
the
only one that smokes drugs.
You, right?
Smokes pots and does drugs. I'm just a weird guy, and everybody else is like normal, chubby. Sorry, brothers. One of them is probably listening. But I take the I learned that if you ate garlic, because usually when I eat garlic, the next day I go to school, people are going, what's that smell? And they go, it's you. And I go, oh, yeah, I smell like garlic. Sorry. It would be like, sorry, I try to. You know, and then I said, well, wait a minute, I'm proud of being a garlic eater. So I would actually deliberately make myself really stink of garlic. I did that on purpose. So I found out that when I visited my, I have a friend, I remember it's a doctor, and he says, you know, you smell like garlic, you're actually doing really something good for your body, because he calls it reverse flushing. So if you eat garlic, it comes out through your pores, you're cleaning your pores out of your skin. See, right?
Because okay. Can't you do that with onions or anything else?
No, garlic is the one that does it. Onions it goes to a different part of your body and works on a different part of your body. But the garlic is a systemic. And that's one of the things I learned about garlic is a systemic. That's why I can use garlic in natural pest control and plants and trees and stuff like that. But the garlic will come out through your skin. What?
I thought it was a myth that if you eat garlic, you know, feed garlic to your pets, they won't get fleas. And
well, the problem is that there's some truth to reality in that you get enough garlic in your system, your skin will give off the garlic. A lot of it depends on your digestion of the garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know people who eat garlic all day and don't smell at all because their system is a little clogged up The pores of your skin are not exactly fully functioning, you see, because that's what happens. Your pores of your skin get clogged up, and eventually you suffocate slowly because you're not it's not flowing through. You know, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. That's what happens to your body and your eyes and everything else. It's lots of things are supposed to be working, but because we're swimming in toxic, it's a constant degrading of the system.
But tell us what you put in the garlic sandwich. I've never heard of that.
Right. So what I did was my mother would give me a couple of loaves of, you know, a couple of sandwiches to take peanut butter and jelly, whatever to take to school. So I mm-hmm. said, Mama, I'll make my own sandwich. So I got two breads and I put about 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 cloves of garlic that she had already, you know, fried up a little bit, crispy, whatever, you know. I started eventually switched over to the raw ones. I like to put them in there.
Oh, my goodness.
Make a sandwich. I would squeeze it together, and I would – then lunchtime would come, and everybody would sit out, and I'd be there eating my garlic, right? And then I would walk up to people, hi, what's happening, man? And they would go, oh.
Want to buy my sandwich?
Yeah, they would go, oh, God, you know.
Yeah, you must have been pretty potent.
Or if I sit next to them, they would go,
oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Right? It's like, oh, God. And
so
forget
you
it
never
if
got
I
a
farted.
Mosquito bite. Is that correct?
My favorite thing is to go fart and you smell the whole room of garlic. Everybody's like, I got to go now. See you all later. Anyway, I realized early on in life that the garlic was actually good because we used to go camping. And I one place we went camping and there was a bear running around and they wouldn't come over here, I think. And they don't like garlic. Most animals don't like garlic. And I started using garlic in the garden to keep rabbits away. One thing you don't want to do is use garlic and roses because then the roses will smell like garlic. Trust me, that doesn't work. What's kind of interesting at first, you go, that rose smells like garlic.
Well, would the garlic scare like bumblebees away or honeybees?
Not at all. You can spray. I do a natural spraying services, and one of the things I spray is garlic. And it does not hurt the bees. As a matter of fact, the garlic will kill any mites and stuff on the bees. See, garlic is interesting because it kills soft-bodied insects. See? So fleas,
soft,
right?
Well, like what would be an example of a soft-bodied insect? A mosquito?
Fleas, mosquitoes, aphids, white flies. See? And in the insect world, all the soft bodies are technically the bad guys, and the hard bodies are the good guys. Duh. Plus, it works on, because it's a systemic, it works on various different types of pest diseases as well as human diseases.
So how would you control these mosquitoes that kind of crop up anywhere?
Really easy. So
yard?
One of the main things is, try to be as healthy as you can, meditate, do whatever you can not to accumulate stress. By being healthy, try to get all your vitamins and minerals. You need over 90 different minerals in your body. And if your stomach isn't working right, your stomach is supposed to process the minerals, right? So process the food and get the minerals out. If you ain't getting it, you're mineral deficient. Because I talk a lot about mineral deficient plants and trees. Well, humans are mineral deficient too. Animals, they're all mineral deficient. If they're not going to get what they're normally supposed to get, and the world turns on them because that's what it's supposed to do.
That means you need to eat your spinach.
Eat your spinach. It's interesting enough, we're talking about spinach later in terms of how to do with your eyes. But so that's one of the key things. But so if you're healthy, you still got to take care of, because even if you're healthy, you stand next to a guy with a cold, you're still going to get the cold. So you want to be able to protect yourself. So the garlic is the key to it, because see, you can take a little bit of garlic. There's a company, and this is like, you're going to contact them, by the way.
Okay.
You're also my sales lady, right? My number one sales lady.
I wear so many hats. I guess I'm confused.
Yeah, but it's called garlic. It's called garlic barrier.
Okay.
It's also called tomato. Tomato. Tomato.
Yeah, I'm really confused.
Mosquito barrier.
Okay.
Because a long time ago, I said, "Dude, you can sell it for mosquito control. Why don't you just call it something else?" Because nowadays in marketing, you can sell the same product under a different name. Just pinpoint that target of people. Because we're so stupid, you can't use it on mosquitoes. You can't read in the little background that says it'll kill mosquitoes on contact. So you have to call it mosquito barrier. Then it sells better for mosquito control, right? See?
Well, Andy, what do the vector control people spray? Is it malathion on these mosquitoes?
What they're spraying is a concoction of all kinds of chemicals. They have the faintest idea what to do. Let's throw everything at it, and stuff will work. They have chemicals, you don't even know the name of it, and they keep changing the chemicals on a regular basis because they know if they use the same chemicals, it doesn't work. They have a pyrethrum base, nicotine. Nicotine is so bad, that's tobacco, right?
Uh-huh.
Nicotine, they finally realize, hey, tobacco is killing people left and right. It'll kill insects and bugs left and right, too. They used to sell a product called nicotine sulfate, concentrated liquid nicotine in a little bottle.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, and that would kill people. I was killing thousands and thousands of people because they would just touch it. A little drop of that will kill you.
Oh, my.
Right? But I would have it. I would take a drop, and I would put it in a gallon, a drop in a gallon. Then I would take that gallon out of that gallon, take a quarter of that liquid, put that in a gallon, and that's what I would use.
And that's what you would spray around?
But even then, I was getting a liver and something to do with my liver. Ah, your liver's on fire, my friend would say, the Oriental guy. Yeah. Ah, so your liver's on fire. I always remember that. He said, what are you doing to your liver? Because when I was spraying, it would come in through my skin, and I would get enough of that nicotine to say, right?
Yeah. Your liver processes everything.
I was stupid. Yeah, I was a stupid young man in those days. And I said, nope, I ain't going to spray that. As a matter of fact, there's enough nicotine around here with the tobacco and stuff to kill things left. I'm only getting enough of it already. But the garlic is a systemic. The garlic will kill because they have a product called garlic barrier and mosquito barrier. And this
they
is concentrated.
That? A garlic
What?
barrier?
Yeah, it's called Garlic Barrier. That's the name of the product. You can
But you
Google
can
it.
make your own, correct?
Garlic Barrier, and you can Google Mosquito Barrier. It's the same product, and you just have to follow instructions because this is like 100,000 garlics in that gallon. Okay?
Well, does this work on ticks as well?
Ticks, all
Ticks.
kinds, yeah, things that suck you on your blood, right? On the animal's blood.
Because
It
ticks are really
works
dangerous up here
great.
where I
You just
live.
have to learn to combine it with a couple other things, right? Because you have a dog, right?
I do.
Right, and your dog's getting ticks, right?
Typhoon Tippy.
Tippy's getting ticks, right?
Well, he doesn't because he gets the medication to not
Are
get ticks.
you putting that stuff on his neck? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm giving him a chew tablet.
For ticks.
For ticks, yeah.
But that's not exactly a safe organic product, is it?
No, he ingests it, and I don't exactly know what it does, but it keeps the fleas and ticks away.
Yeah, well, if you were to Google that, the actual name of that product, you'd be surprised at
I
at
probably
what
would
it
be
is.
horrified,
You
Andy.
would be horrified, right? Because, so what if 1 million people use it? Look at the thousands of people that did not get weren't so lucky because the way they go now is, well, if we did this study and 1 million people use it, and only a couple of thousand people had such horrible reaction to it. They all died horribly. You know how they say, you may get this, you may get that. Well, that's okay, to do that because all these people benefit from it, but these people really just, right? That's
Well,
okay.
dogs
So,
get heartworm, and isn't that from mosquitoes?
right. So, if if you're like me and you say, okay, I want to do things organically and naturally, I would do the
Yes,
same
how
thing with
would we
my
do it,
pets.
Andy?
That's why I have all these books out and stuff. I have one called Natural Pet Control. How to keep your pet healthy, your cat, your animal, whatever, without using all this stuff that you put on the back of their neck, without giving them all these things. That's why the book How to Keep Mosquitoes from Biting You is really very important. It's also for animals too, but for Tippy, the key is what are you feeding the animal? See, right?
I cook food for him. He gets human food mixed in with
Right, but
other
is the
omegas and
human
whatever.
food rich in all the 90 trace minerals?
Yes,
Are
he
you
gets
giving
eggs,
something?
organic eggs, and all the
Yes, sweetie
stuff.
pie, but it doesn't have 90 trace minerals in it.
Well, that's why he gets kelp, and he gets hemp oil, and he
You're not
gets
getting the
liver,
90
and he
trace
gets.
minerals. There's 90 of them. Okay, so in order for them to get 90 trace minerals from the food they're eating, they would have to eat a wide range of food that they normally don't get from their humans. If you go back in nature, when they were like living out in the wilds, and you
Yeah,
would
and
have
dogs ate the heart and the gizzards of an
a wide
animal,
range of
and
foods, a wide range. So the
yeah.
key here is to give them the trace mineral source. Okay? So like in farming, the farmers realized that a long time ago. No matter how much of white food I give them, they're still going to be trace mineral deficient. Same thing with humans. No matter how much you eat, right? You can eat, and you would have to eat all kinds of stuff from all over the place in order to get them all. You're not going to get them. You're going to be trace mineral deficient. Same thing with plants and trees and stuff like that. That's why they have product. Farmers have products that they buy which has the trace minerals they give directly to the animals. For example, C90. CSEA 90.
What is that?
It's got 90 trace minerals in it. It's for give it to animals. You can use it on your plants. You can give it to your dogs. They get all and humans. They get all the trace minerals. I take a little bit on a regular basis.
Do you?
Yeah, man. Oh yes, man. You can
Where
just
do you
feel
buy
my
it from?
muscles, huh?
Where do you buy it?
On a
You can't get
website,
it at
on
the
their
local
website.
grocery store.
No, on their website.
Ah, okay. Well, that'll be
Right.
another show.
Let's go C90, right? And so you'll find in the animal and human realm, there are lots of different ways to get your trace minerals that you have to do, but that's the key to it there, see. So for mosquitoes, you want to get try to eat as best you can, and then you want to learn how to use garlic. Now,
And you
garlic.
said, well, in any way, you said you would, as a boy, I think you would take a garlic clove raw, cut it in half, put one half in one on your, in your left shoe and the other half in your right shoe, and you'd have them in your shoe all day, and that would
I'm
protect
supposed to
you.
come up with all these clever things, not you. You're
That's
ruining
pretty
my
clever.
show. Yes, that's true. So that was my desire to make my smell last longer, because if I ate the garlic bread, within the first hour it would be the strongest, and every hour after that it would eventually fade away and they wouldn't smell me by the time I got home. However, if I had a garlic in my shoe, I would smell all day for days and days and days. And it turns out to be really, really good for people, because it backflushes. I told my doctor friend about this. I put him in my shoe, and he said, "That's amazing, because, you know, toxin comes in and out through your feet and your skin. So if your feet suck up the garlic and it distributes it throughout your body, and it goes out through your skin, everywhere on your skin, your face, everywhere, and it cleans you out."
Well, the feet are a sweat gland, just like in animals, right? That's why your feet smell.
Yeah.
And your underarms. I guess you could put garlic in your underarms.
You don't have to put it there, but if you eat it, it will come out. The idea is you want it to circulate and go in and out through one part of your skin and out through the other part. That's reverse flushing, because normally it comes down the other way.
So basically how you control these mosquitoes is use garlic in many, many ways.
Right. So you can spray it. So you can make your own mixture. You can go to the 99-cent store and buy crushed garlic. They have the 99-cent little bottles of crushed garlic. Take that, put that into about a gallon of water, heat it up a little bit so it becomes a little more concentrated. Take that and filter it out into your sprayer. And then even that gallon of the water that you made, it's really very strong. So it's just a gallon of this. So you have an ounce. Basically, it's an ounce of crushed garlic.
You had a swimming pool, Andy, what would you do? I mean, do they lay eggs in swimming pools?
Right. So what you could do is a couple of different things for your pool, because I have gone through this in Florida, okay? People would ask me what to do, and I said, okay, here's the thing. Okay, so the first time I did that with a pool, I used a food coloring. You know the food coloring that you use for Easter, right, to make your eggs colored?
Yeah, Easter eggs, uh-huh.
Right. Well, you can take one of those little tubes of food coloring and dump it in the pool, and it forms a thin layer on the pool surface.
Okay.
A thin layer, really thin, nice thin layer. Mosquito larvae come up and they can't get the oxygen and they die.
But you can't swim in the pool with that layer on there, can you?
Well, that's an interesting. I'm glad you brought that up, because see that when I did it, I was a little purple. I had a purple tint. I thought that was really cool. I said, hey, you know, look at this. I have a little purple tint. So that didn't work out too well in the long run, because, you know, yeah, you could, you know, it
kind you of end destroys up having the weird point of having a pool.
Yeah. So, but the garlic was really cool. The garlic,
so the
all you
chlorine
need.
Chlorine doesn't kill the eggs? The chlorine
the
chlorine? People put into their pools?
It depends, tub? Because you know how they put a guy, chlorine guy comes either once a week or
right,
whenever, right?
Right. It doesn't kill the eggs?
It depends when the chlorine man comes and how long it's been there. If it's freshly done, then the chlorine tends to kill it. But if it's there for a couple of weeks, or a lot of times people have pools and they don't have a man come and properly do it. And then the eggs can be anywhere. It doesn't have to be in the pool. It could be anywhere near it to get, as long as they get some of the moisture. Then there lots of people have other types of pools, you know, like the little hot above ground pools, which is basically
circle. Yeah, toe boys. Yeah.
And they have a lot of those, and they grow right in there really well, or any other type of small little pools. You know how they have these little tire things that they fill up with water and they play in it? And all they have to do is play in it for a few hours, and that's enough for a mosquito larvae to hatch if they happen to, especially the Asian ones, if they attach themselves to the right thing at the right time, be the right place.
But, and the reason why they're called the Asian tiger is because of the coloring. They're black with these little white strips. They're very, very hard to see, apparently.
Right, exactly right. And also because they originated from Asia. But the garlic will kill them dead. And the garlic can be sprayed. Like 1 ounce of crushed garlic can be dumped into your pool and form a thin layer. The only problem you will have is you should be able to smell the garlic a little bit, and that's not a problem. Ideally, you want to say if you smell the garlic, you're safe, because the garlic has, what it does, it kills them, it has sulfur in it. The sulfur kills any other soft body insects. But you can spray your whole yard with it, for example, because that's what they're telling you to do, is go around and pick up any water, anything like that, right? So you can literally spray your whole yard. It doesn't have to be the pool, because they'll be on leaves, it'll be on cups, any place. You can spray with this garlic mixture, right? And it will kill them on contact. And then if, you know, like I have a lot of friends in Florida, and I tell them, look, you know the mosquitoes are out there all the time. They're looking for you, so don't let them find you. The biggest problem with that, I have a few friends that don't have friends anymore because they won't go anywhere near them, you know?
I see. And really, these mosquitoes come out in the early morning and late afternoon, right?
I have one friend. What do you mean? What? See? What? They go out? Oh, I mean, they're out there?
Yeah, these mosquitoes are they're most active in the early morning and late afternoon.
So if you're a runner and you go out early morning run, you can easily, you know, protect yourself by either eating some. Usually, I tell people eating garlic is not as effective because it's filtered out through your body, right? So the smell that comes out is not going to really kill them as much because you already got the sulfur and everything in your body. You know, it doesn't. It may keep them from going after you a little bit, but if they really wanted to, if you're a heavy meat eater or whatever, they still would get it. That's why putting the garlic clove is really good. You can take it right out after you're done with the running because your body. If you can smell it, they can smell it too, okay? And they will not find you.
Can't you just protect yourself by wearing clothes, or will they bite you through your clothes?
You can wear clothes, but you're going to have to be really, really, you can't, you know, for running, you have to really be covered. You can also mist yourself with the garlic, you know, so you have a temporary smell of it. There are lots of other different things you can use. Because I started off using essential oils, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So I would use, you know.
Which one would you use for mosquito?
They all work really well. The tea tree oil is a wonderful one to use. The lavender works really good. Lavender is very toxic to a lot of insects.
But nobody knows. Like when I take Tippy in to get his nails cut, the person actually sprays the air with a little lavender oil.
Right, so the lavender oil is very, very, very good. Yeah. Main thing about lavender is that it affects your hormonal systems. So children shouldn't be getting it because they found that kids, young males, shouldn't be exposed to lavender because it changes their hormonal balance and causes them to be gay. I'm just kidding, but it doesn't change.
Okay.
It does affect their hormones, and it can affect the hormones in normal people. So you don't want to be using lavender all the time. And they probably just using a very tiny homeopathic type of concentration. You can barely smell the lavender. You can use Dr. Bronner's soap. So they have eucalyptus, peppermint, almond. And that's a really easy one to do. You just add a little bit of Dr. Bronner's soap in a sprayer. You take the sprayer with you. You mist yourself regularly with it. Ideally, if you're going to go out in the morning, take a bath and use the Dr. Bronner's soap. So you'll be smelling like peppermint, lavender, eucalyptus, almond. They have a whole bunch of varieties of them. See?
So if you don't like the smell of garlic, you can use these other alternatives?
Right. Okay. And people who have gone camping have sprayed the whole campsite with the garlic, right, or with the lavender, or eucalyptus, almond, whatever the soap is. There's another company called Young Living Oils, which you're going to be calling Young Living Oil. They're an essential oil, one of the best on the market. They make a product called Thieves. Thieves is an essential oil. You can use that for almost anything. You can use that for anything. Thieves oil, right?
Is that an S or a...
Thieves, like in you're a thief. Stop, thief.
Oh, a thief, like T-H, okay.
Yeah, T-H-I-E-F-S, okay. Thieves oil. Okay. What's a wonderful essential oil? You can use it for hand control. This is a commercial, but you can use it for hand control. I would dilute it again a little bit, and so you can use it on mosquitoes. You can use it on fleas. You can use it on a lot of different things, essential oil. But you always have to be careful. People tend to overdo essential oil. So I tell people you don't have any problems with, garlic. And another thing I wanted to say about mosquitoes.
We got 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay. Well. Okay. So we're done on the mosquitoes. I want to answer a couple of people garden questions. I talk very fast, so I have to cover the garden questions. This person wants to know if she's planting a new tree, how to prepare the soil. Really? Well, you just dig a hole and find the best. Make it large enough so the tree has room to grow. Get some compost. Equal amounts of compost. Equal amounts of the soil you have there. Blend the two together. While you're at it, add a little bit of rock dust. A small amount of rock dust. Try to find some type of microbial life that Usually an organic fertilizer has a bunch of nice microbes. Add a little bit to that.
Seaweed, right?
Yeah, well, seaweed nowadays, because of all the pollution stuff going in the ocean, you have to be really careful where you get it from. It should be OMRI. That usually means it's safe and it's been clean. But seaweed has a natural source. The C90 is actually salt, sea salt, ancient sea salt that has all the trace minerals. You do want to concentrate on trace minerals. And then do some type of nice acid mulch, like a Salix gardenia mulch. There are things you want to do to the plant as it grows to take care of it. But that's as simple as that. If that doesn't help you, email me. And the best way to make sure this happens is to call me and talk to me on the show. Otherwise, you have to take your chances. Okay, another person says, I have wood chips.
Yeah,
Is that fine to
don't
use?
use wood chips.
I would say no. He wants to know if it's a fire hazard. I would say, yeah, it's a fire hazard.
You
This
told
other
me this
person here
a
called
while ago.
about, hang on, I know you want to talk.
Go ahead. No, you have the stage.
Okay, oh, stage. I have the stage. So ash borer beetles, and the same thing with the bagworms. There is a trace mineral deficiency. That means that for starters, nobody takes care of the trees. They leave them alone. But the conditions, we change the conditions that they live in. It's one thing if there weren't any humans around there by themselves, right? So they would get the trace minerals they need. Animals would come and die there all the time. There were millions of birds, millions of creatures dying and poo-pooing. That's how you get the trace minerals, right? Right. When was the last time an animal died under your tree, right?
Well, I
Right. That's,
buried my dog in my yard, so I guess I
yeah,
have
okay. Well,
that.
then they get some trace minerals from that. But so it's a trace mineral deficiency. So you need to learn how to feed your trees, not a chemical fertilizer, which causes more trace minerals deficiency, but a good organic fertilizer. And even organic fertilizers don't have all the trace minerals underneath, so you have to provide for them a good trace mineral source. My super seaweed, for example, is how I made it. It has all the trace minerals your plants need. It's called super seaweed. I invented it when I started doing the spray in the sixth grade. Come to my website and check it out. But you want to give it the minerals in a form that they can absorb it. So you have rock dust, that's why minerals, right? Rock dust, compost and mulch, and this is a long. There's a long-term and short-term solution. The long-term is a rock dust, compost and mulch. Short-term solution is start spraying your trees with a nice foliar, like compost tea made from good trace mineral sources. And
And it
if
takes
you,
about a year, right? You said in one of your articles.
it takes a while to recover it, but the thing
Right,
is that.
like in anything, right? Yeah.
The thing is that if they already has the ash borer, it's too late because the tree is so stressed out, the bug says it's food. And so to get the tree to come back, it takes a little bit of magic. You have to understand how the tree would absorb it, how the foliar feed it, put something in the ground isn't going to work because the root system's not working. You have to spray it. And then
Yeah, the
here's last
foliar.
question.
Yeah.
My tomato plants are not doing well this year, neither are my friends' tomatoes. It turns out lots of people are having a problem with their tomato plants because it's too hot. Too hot at night, too hot during the day. It boils their tomatoes. I have a good tomato crop, but I'm fortunate because I live along the coast and I don't have 100-plus degree temperature. So if you want to have vegetables and tomatoes and stuff like that, eventually your only choice is to do a greenhouse. Grow it inside a greenhouse and
To
then you can
amplify
control
the
the
heat.
temperature. Right, then you can control the temperature. So I think we're getting pretty close to
We
whatever
have
it
a
is.
minute.
Okay, sure.
Me and the boys come to Earth to do some fishing. While here, we listen to BBSradio.com. Don't panic, it's organic. Andy Lopez, the invisible gardener, has been helping folks from around the world, and he can help you too. Listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can just listen or you can call in and talk directly to the invisible gardener right here on bbsradio.com/don't panic, it's organic. That's Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon on bbsradio.com/don't panic, it's organic.
Okay, everybody, thank you very much for listening to my show. Thank you, Deborah, for being my co-host. You're doing great. You'll get better.
Thank you. Have a great week, everyone.
And everybody, have a good week. And we haven't heard from my beloved God, on the other end here. He's supposed to just say, "All right, you have 5 seconds, time to go." So I'm going to just put this song until he says so. I'm still working on this one. Oh, it says no hurry. Oh, he's got a new way of sending messages now. Hey, Deborah. Deborah.
Yes, I'm here.
God says no hurry.
Well, because there's not another show, but I don't think this gets recorded.
Oh, yes, it does.
No, it's just an hour podcast, right?
Well, he has recorded before when he says no hurry. See, it gets recorded.
Okay,
it gets recorded. Oh, my God.
Okay, so I'm just going to... okay, so do you think I should just do something like more serious or... Because next week, you know, I've been still trying to talk to people about BRICS.
Well, let's do BRICS next week then, because the week after that, then we have a guest.
What's a guest?
Yeah. An investigative journalist, Carrie Gillum.
Oh, cool. She was on before, White Wash.
Yeah, her
book
is
about
called
Monsanto,
White Wash, the Story of a Weed Killer, Cancer, and the Corruption of Science.
Yeah, I want her take on what's going on with this recent fine at the $289 million this guy won.
Right.
Because on social marketing networks, you know, there's always people against this. You know, they always say, "See, there's no science that proves it's toxic. These people were just going with their heart instead of their brains." And it depends who you talk to, right?
Fake news is Andy, so right? She's been in this for 20 years, you know, unveiling corporate America.
Yeah. I know. And it's the same thing with going on with. I recently posted. Did you see the thing I roasted about the Rife machine?
Yes, very, very fascinating.
Well, the guy calls it. This guy went on. He called it fake news, and he said I should do my research.
Did he ever respond to your response to him?
Yeah, he said he sent me a link, so I went up and looked at it, and. It's some cancer research place in Canada or Europe somewhere. The bottom line, they say, look, we haven't the faintest idea what we're doing, and we're doing it all wrong. It's in there. It's in the sink. It says there's no proof that this device actually cures cancer. There's no proof whatsoever. And then you start reading, and you're going, basically, there's one paragraph, and it's up there on the Facebook. It says basically, it's in an experimental stage. And we used the wrong frequency. I mean, we did get some results, but we used the wrong frequency and it's still an experimental stage. That, to me, says, we don't have the faintest idea what we're talking about, but it's no good.
Hmm.
Right? See what I'm saying? And the frequency is it. It's like saying, it's like telling, look, 100 people came by and could not open your garage door, your car door with their button, so it doesn't work. Your car door doesn't work. Duh, if I use my car door, it works, right? That's the frequency. So they clearly said they used the wrong frequency. So like, maybe you should try using the right frequency and see if it works. On top of that, what did you do? You make your own machine and do it, or did you actually made a Rife machine? Because there's a difference between a Rife machine and some junky machine they make.
But you've told me that you actually did see a Rife machine, right?
Yeah, I made a few of them. I've been studying this. And the guy says I should do my research. And I said, well, that's interesting. because I've been doing research since 1970 on this. Right? See what I mean? You know, so, and to me, it's just like Tesla. You know, Tesla invented a device that can give free energy.
Yeah.
Okay, so people would say that's fake news. But the reality was is that the powers that be at that time didn't want free energy. They want to be able to sell it. It's the same thing with Dr. Rife. His device will have cured not only cancer, but a variety of other diseases. But no, there goes the health industry down the drain. The doctors, what do you call it, the medical industry down the drain.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with chemicals in the gardening world, in the agricultural world.
Like
you know? Yeah, so and to me is a concentrated effort, just like, you know, oh boy.
This
something
is
happened.
The G-O-D.
Oh, God
G-O-D.
Say we have to go. God saying we have to go.
No.
Okay.
No. I just wanted to chime in.
Okay, chime in.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
we love it when you chime in.
The G-O-D wants to chime in.
Okay, chat in.
Chime in more, Don.
All right. Well, you know, I bought those mole killers.
Oh, did you?
Funny. I did, and I want to give you an update because you wanted an update, and what the heck. So here it goes.
It's been a while. Thank you.
Well, you bet. So I did it because that was what you encouraged me to do. Go down to,
Did you end up killing
Ace Hardwick? No.
Yeah.
Well, I got four of them. I ordered two, and Amazon sent me four. I was like, wow, okay, I'm one of those rare people that actually get double the amount of product that they've purchased and I've got an invoice for, right? So I'm feeling kind of lucky. But they're cheap. Come on, folks. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And I know somebody else who constantly that happens to him. He always laughs when it does. He bought like two cell phones, got four. Now, what would you do then? Anyways.
Did they work?
I haven't used them. You know, here's why.
Okay.
You know all those lizards running around our property?
Yeah.
Then there's millions of them. I'm scared to kill them. You know, I can actually be sinister enough to go to war against the mole that are destroying all of our plants, killing the underground root systems, draining the water away from where it needs to be so parts of the plant die because parts of the roots die. And it's quite an interesting dance that happens here around the plants. And I'd like to stop that, but... Gosh, then I'd have to kill all the other life forms. And I just, it's hard for me to find that acceptable. And my twin brother.
But so Don, the alternative was human hair.
So listen, Deborah says hair. And did you remember I told you about hair? I talked about hair.
Put hair in the holes? And narcissist?
Well,
narcissist?
There's another problem. I just can't bring myself to getting my hair cut. Or cut my own hair.
You don't have to go
get
a haircut. All you have
children.
To do is go find a local barber and say, look, just save the hair. I'll come by and
pick it up. Have you touched my hair? This is the G-O-D.
But that wouldn't kill them. That's just drive them away. It wouldn't hurt the lizards. It was just
really?
Drive the, you know, when it stinks up, everybody would go away.
Huh.
A couple other things you could try.
It won't kill those lizards, and we have tons.
Yeah,
frogs.
You like the lizards. Yeah, you know, so you can actually teach the lizards to eat the gophers. That would be cool.
That would be cool, but these are tiny lizards.
The gophers would eat the lizards.
For the lizard.
Yeah, so that's good. I totally understand because, you know, I tell people you only want to kill as a last resort, and you don't want to kill indiscriminately, like poor lizards is minding your own business.
Right, I just don't have the stomach for it.
So that's fine. That's okay. So you know, you could do the paper white narcissus, and they won't hurt the lizard. That's very selective. They won't hurt the lizards at all, and the gophers.
But you have to order
I think I'm going
to
go that route next year. Yeah.
So here's what I would do: instead of trying to plant it all the way around the property,
just in the area.
They have three acres, Andy. They have 3 acres. It would be very hard.
Right. So all they got to do is just plant a little clump over there, a little clump over there. And around the corners, for example, along the certain areas of the fence, they are attracted to it. So you want that little area to get big, and they'll grow really well there. They will go to after that. And it's not your fault if they seem to want to kill themselves on that.
Excellent news.
Right?
I will
That's
try
what I
that.
Tell them. Look,
I will
if you
be
want
trying
to eat
that.
And kill yourself, it's fine. Look, I just happened to be planning this here.
Well, we've had quite the debates here, you know, and it gets so bad when a tree goes down. They love the figs, and they take down all of our fig varieties. And they do it after the figs are really grown and giving you all the figs you want, and then bam, left side goes, right side goes.
They eat the roots, Don?
They'll actually, it's very strange. Some of them, they'll literally eat right through maybe the stem above the roots, almost like a beaver would, you know. So it creates a spiral effect, and when you pop it out of the ground, it looks like it's a spear.
So you know we were talking about garlic, right?
Right.
And you know garlic is systemic, right? And we're talking
about
figs, right? We're talking about figs, right?
Right.
Okay, have you ever eaten garlic-tasting figs?
I have.
Do you like it or not?
I love bacon and I love garlic. I hate to offend
this is how you save
you know,
the figs.
Certain parts of our audience, but...
So you can save the figs in a couple of different ways, okay? First of all, you can plant garlic bulbs at the base of the trees of your plants, right?
Right.
Okay, and there's a specific type of garlic bulb you want to plant. It's called elephant garlic.
Oh, those are the really big ones.
Elephant garlic.
Yeah, and what will happen is, and also, too, you can plant, so, you know, remember we talked about society garlic?
Yes, I have that in my yard.
So you can plant society garlic underneath these trees, but the garlic variety is even better because all you have to do is you plant them so they grow underneath your trees. So you don't have to do anything else because you normally water your fruit trees, and they will absorb the garlic to the point where nothing will come attack the tree, and you'll taste the garlic in the fig or the apple or pear. That's how.
Honestly, this sounds genius. I will do that.
I know it is.
Tell Doug about it.
That to me is a remedy that I can truly get into. Yeah.
That would be easy to do.
I have a customer who has 100 fruit trees. I'm getting echo.
I know why, because
Don is on and it's echoing his thing. Don, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And
okay, so this customer has 100 fruit trees, and he got tired of this marauding squirrel group. One giant squirrel coming, come on, hit me! And the other squirrels would take all the food while you're fighting that big squirrel. And so I started to plant garlic underneath all the fruit trees. And you can taste the garlic in the apple. You can taste the garlic in the sapote. They taste the garlic in whatever fruit. That's the idea, to taste the garlic. If you can taste the garlic, it's in the plant. You can, it's in the trunk, it's in the leaves, it's in everything.
I like that idea. I might even plant a little horseradish around it as well.
Well, I don't know if the horseradish will work, but I did that with tomatoes. So you have tomato plants that get attacked by whatever, you know, they try to come and get the fruit or caterpillars or whatever. And that was before in my youth when I realized that, yeah, you go out in the nursery, buy a tomato plant. It's not the same thing as buying a heirloom variety of tomato that was grown organically. They're not the same thing. But you can grow garlic at the base of the tomato plant. The tomato absorbs the garlic, and nothing attacks the tomato plant. Look, nothing goes after garlic. You can plant garlic. Nothing will attack it.
I love that. You know, I almost believe that. I truly do, because we have very healthy tomato plants all throughout our garden this year, pots and out in the garden area, and they're thriving for the first time. And it's because I use a lot of worm tea, and we use a lot of garlic. And any bad garlic we throw into the worm tea gets mixed in there.
So, really? Seriously? That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can also... That's why I started in my youth making garlic tea. I would take garlic cloves, put them in a big thing of water, boil, strain it down, go out and spray with it. And it kills everything. And then this guy comes out, he heard me talk about it, he invents mosquito barrier and garlic barrier.
No, I love it. And I find that peppermint works well, too, to keep pests away. You know, I haven't used the garlic. I haven't thought of that idea at all. That's brilliant.
Peppermint works fine. You can grow peppermint, can make a tea and spray it, or you can plant the peppermint plant. That's why I like Dr. Bronner's peppermint soap, because it's made, it's a herb, you know, made from peppermint. It's a concentrate. You can use it as a soap, you know, made from peppermint. Works really, really good. Most insects, most creatures don't like anything that has a different smell that they haven't smelled.
Right.
And garlic is a systemic. It will get absorbed into their system. They will not like it. They won't like it. It actually kills, you know, a variety of different creatures, you know, different, from whiteflies, it's a great way to control ants. You just don't want to spray garlic.
Onions when being fed to dogs, right?
Right. And so when you do the dogs, you actually rub the garlic on them as opposed to making them eat it. Yeah, because they eat it, it won't be as effective. You take a little cloth, you put a little bit of the garlic, crushed garlic on it, mushy, and then rub it into them, and it'll smell like garlic for about a day, especially if they're going to go out or if they're being attacked. You know, because I know one lady who emailed me, she said her dog is scratching all the time and she can't handle giving him this or that. Well, after giving him garlic all the time and dusting him with garlic, the dog is not scratching anymore. Yeah. Are we done yet, boss, or are we still taping? Because, you know, it's scary.
Oh, we're still taping, and you're the boss on this show.
This is scary. Okay,
you're the boss, Andy.
Are we done yet?
We can be.
We can head right out anytime you're ready.
Because we're doing like an hour and 15 minutes, right? Because if I go an hour and a half, I can't put it on my talk shoe.
Right. There are limitations because we have no limitations.
Cool. So what happened to the people after work didn't make it?
It's up to you. It depends. Again, we pedal to a lot of stations, and some of them do have 1 hour limits. You go over 60,
posted. SoundCloud doesn't
have their
have
limitations.
SoundCloud doesn't have that problem though.
No, it doesn't.
But I use Garlic, for example. I learned how to. So in my early days, I would make a mixture called TGM Plus. That's garlic. T would be tobacco, because I started. You learned about tobacco because American Indians. There's actually a company called American Indian Tobacco Company. It's natural tobacco source, the only one in the United States. You can buy it without any chemicals, and it's really people roll their own or they buy the cigars for them. 100% pure, organically grown. Deborah's going to contact them for it. I'm not going to do a tobacco. I just can't do it. But what I used to do is I take tobacco leaves, get a pound of tobacco, a pound of garlic. Remember, TGM. M would be manure. So I would get some type of fresh manure. I would get it from either horses or a cow, or, you know, you do not want to get it from an elephant. That's another story. Or tiger. Very hard to get tiger poop, you know, really not easy if you go to Sioux. So we blend them together in the rock dust, make this poultice mixture, and I call it a tree vent. It's basically a clay drain pipe. It's about 2 feet long and maybe 4 inches wide. It's a circle. You bury 4 of them. 12, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock at the base of the tree, twice the diameter of the trunk out, halfway, it's like halfway between the drip, you know, to the drip line and the trunk, and a circle. You put a drip line around it. Inside of there, you put this mixture, the tobacco, garlic, compost, and rock dust. And I've learned that that gets absorbed into the tree. And the tree gets absorbed. It gets its minerals, it gets everything, because that's what the compost and the rock dust does. But the garlic goes right into the tree, goes right out through the flowers and everything.
This brings it back. You know, I remember living in Austria when I was a young lad, and I remember them doing that. It just come back to me as you were talking.
So
I did that. I did that a lot throughout my early season of growing with people and stuff, because people would say, "What's attacking my citrus?" I said,
his mixture. That's unique, but I mean...
There's lots of ways of doing stuff that gets absorbed right into the tree.
Dripping various ways of, or pouring various products like rock dust and growing various things like garlic and so on around the fruit trees actually does change the flavor.
It's so cool because you ever had an orange that tasted that had garlic taste, or an apple that tasted like garlic? You go, I know it's an apple, but I'm tasting garlic here, right? And then you cook with that or do anything with it. It's absolutely amazing. You're really cool. I did that in Costa Rica too, because that's how I would confuse a lot of deer and stuff like that for coming around and eating my garden. They would smell and go, phew, that's ridiculous. Let's go over there.
Don, that's what you have to do, is put garlic out there. Those deers are horrible.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
So what you do for deer
next year,
is...
I'm going on a mad hunt. I'm going to start sticking those bulbs all in and around the garden area.
Garlic is what you want. It's 100 times more powerful than regular garlic, and it'll also be 4 times as big. They get to be really big, giant cloves, And then once you grow the stuff, you learn that not just the cloves are good, but the actual leaves are also beneficial, too, to use in the garden. I was also going to say coffee. I told you about coffee, too, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, that
Deborah knows everything.
I believe you, because that's part of the worm tea, and when I pour it around the plants, the moles stay away from those particular plants.
Huh.
And I use a lot of the coffee grounds in the tea.
Right. Yeah. So the caffeine happens to be very, very bad for a lot of creatures. Coffee in the ground gets rid of snails. The caffeine controls all kinds of creatures. And then if you're very clever in how you use these things, because I say, well, one day, 1 month, I'm going to do garlic, right? And then the next month I'm coming back and I'm hitting you with coffee. You're just getting used to the garlic.
That's what I mean by going on a mad hunt. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
And then the following month, I will say, well, I'm going to hit you with some Dr. Bronner's peppermint or lavender soap. And that by then, they'll say, fine, I'm out of here without hurting one another.
Then I'll be reduced to cutting my hair.
When I lived here, I lived up Deer Creek where I live. It's basically called Deer Creek because it's out in the forest. It's not in the country. And it's animals, mountain lions, and all kinds of creatures come around. And I had a garden. I did two gardens, really. One garden was for me, one garden was for them. Because every time I would go out there, there'd be a deer, mountain lion, all kinds of creatures eating my garden. So the way I kept them out was I would go out and mark them. I would pee on the four corners. And say, this is my of the garden. This is my garden.
Really?
Yeah. My mother told me that. I learned that in Puerto Rico. Go out and pee and mark your garden. I said, okay. You know, and so I did that. And then they were being more, no, we wanted food anyway. So I started spraying garlic around. Then I started putting the coffee beans around. So it's like they had a barrier to go through. And I found out that the best coffee beans to use, because you can use the ground up coffee, but this, see, the grounds already, the caffeine is already gone. Most of it is already gone from the coffee. See what I'm saying? So you want to use it, but it has the 100% concentrated caffeine. If this stuff works so well and it's already been diluted, very little caffeine in there, imagine how it works if it still has the caffeine in it.
Well, that's pretty expensive, though, to put coffee beans in.
No, it's not. No, it's not. So I go to Costco's, all these big places, and you can buy 10 pounds of coffee beans, you know, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the kind that works amazing is French vanilla.
Oh, that's vanilla, why I remember you said
vanilla is toxic to them. Vanilla is toxic French to vanilla. Most animals when they smell it. They go, oh, boy, I'm out of here.
Why can't you just use vanilla concentrate like you do in baking?
Well, because, you know, it's a tiny little bottle. Unless you buy a big bottle of the concentrate, it would cost you a lot. And what are you going to do? Run around with a little drop here and a little drop there and a little drop here and a little drop there. That will work okay for about 24 hours. Then what are you going to do?
Right.
But if you buy the beans and you take and you sprinkle the beans, I buy like 1 pound of bean, does the whole freaking property because I just sprinkle it very lightly. It doesn't have to be heavy duty everywhere, right?
Well, one pound, that's a 40.
It lasts for a month.
Yeah.
You know, these little tips and tricks are brilliant. Because I can't be the only one having such severe pest problems. And we're building up the soils, you know, but it's the neighbor guy, I guess they're selling an acre that's to the side of us that no one had ever cleaned. And they wanted to, you know, with new rules and regulations, they needed to chop down a lot of the trees and clear it out. So they did. And they mowed it down with this big bulldozer, took down trees, mowed them right down, trampled it all. And the moles, the day he started until about 2 weeks later when he finished, it was extreme. I mean, they found a new home in their neighborhood, right?
You know what I told you to do, right? And you're not
deadly.
Doing it.
It was deadly on us.
I told you what to do. You get a grass snake.
You get a what?
A grass snake. You can put an ad in the paper. Wanted a grass snake family. We'll take it to you.
Oh, a grass snake.
All right, get a snake.
They'll call you, hey, I'm Mr. Grass snake. Me and my wife want to have a place for my kids. You say, here, come on down, come on down. They will eat every mole and gopher that they run into. They may eat some lizards too.
Acceptable, acceptable. Nature against nature. I'm just the overseer.
You can do that really easy, and that would help. Also, too, you want to get an owl house. Build an owl house. You have owls over there, don't you?
Pardon me?
Owl.
Poo.
Poo.
No cow poo. Little cow pun.
No, you have owls, Don.
Oh, owls. Yeah.
Owls.
Yeah. I think we do have an owl here somewhere.
Right. So I would build a couple owl houses. Not outhouse, but owl house. See, make a couple of them around your main house, somewhere where they're protected. And the more of them you have, one of them could eat you out of all your golfers.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
You build a house, you see what is the food that they want. You can even, you know, kill a gopher and give it to them as food. Once they start eating that gopher, That's it. For all you know, they may already be into it, but I like to kind of train them, you know, in that sense. You know, when I lived up Deer Creek.
Do they eat squirrels? We got tons of squirrels.
Yeah, and squirrels, you know, squirrels.
I don't mind them. In fact, we even provide them their own garden. Doug plants them radishes every year because they love to come down and eat the tops of the radish. We don't mind the squirrels. They're great.
We have a. There's one group of squirrels in Malibu where we live. The squirrel's about 3 foot tall. And he's a male squirrel, and the rest of them are. Yeah, and he's like stands there.
Yeah, that's squirrely.
He takes out his little blade razor knife. He says, "Come on, man, come on, Jenny, come near me. Come on, just try it. Just try it." I'm going, "Oh, gee whiz, you want an apple? You want?" I don't believe in killing creatures. I don't. I really don't. I think they have it tough enough with us humans. Yeah. Messing up things the way it is now is that we should try to be as friendly and as relaxed as possible with them because they have a right to be here also.
See, that's how I feel. Deep down, that makes the most amount of sense.
Yeah, you know, so you could do that. You just have to learn. That's why I call it dances with ants. You know, instead of killing ants, because I tell people, William Shatner is a friend of mine, and he would say, "Spock, we're not going to kill today." Duh, right? You don't have to. And so you learn how to, you know, I tell people, look, just annoy the heck out of them or go away. Sometimes they listen, but now they don't listen to humans. They used to listen to humans, but now it's like, yeah, don't talk to me. Right? Right?
Well, that means you'll swat a fly if it bothers you.
You know, so, yeah.
Right?
So
I will. If a spider's in my home and I can't get it out, it's going down.
Yeah, I understand. It's a survival.
It's a survival. Buzzing around you.
It's right. A survival thing, you know. Right. But at the same time, I tell people, I get calls regularly for spiders. I say, look, 99.9% of the spiders are friendly. That doesn't mean
they
that are? You need to live with them in your house because basically, if they're in your house, you're doing something wrong. You're not keeping the place clean enough because the spiders are going. I might as well move in here. It's perfect for them, right? And so a lot of times, just cleaning up the place. Not having piles and piles of wood and boot and boxes stuff
boxes
in the back. I had one lady couldn't get in her garage.
Right.
Yeah.
But that means I'd have to get rid of the clutter in my life.
Right. And in a vegetable garden, when I was one of the reasons I got the name Invisible Gardener is because I do invisible gardening. The animals, the creatures are all the real gardeners. So you just set up the system that I tell people, you know what happens if you get rid of all the ants on your property? You're going to get more ants. So it's much better if you sort of dance with them and try to kill them. Every time you kill one ant, the queen goes, "What happened to Judy? We sent her out and then come back." Somebody go out and find Judy.
Yeah,
they
haven't
they
ever seen that movie, Ants? Come on.
Oh, yeah. The one in Brazil where they start off with they found giant ants were attacking the city and they would fight. And they would be fighting all throughout the thing. And then they blew everything up. And at the end of the movie, the ants were still back. Everybody was dead and the ants were still there.
Right.
So I tell people it's much better to dance with the ants because the ants are incredibly smart creatures. They're one of the smartest people. Look, humans are not smart. If you figure out, why would you do all this stuff? You can't be smart and be doing all this stuff. You can't be cutting the tree you're sitting on and think you're a smart person. That doesn't make any sense. You're not smart. So ants are more. So I live on the second floor. Ants were starting to come in. I said, "What's going on?" They said, "We're just checking the place out." I said, "Fine." I said, "Let me talk to the old lady, the queen." There's a queen. It's amazing. The ants are run by FEMA. It's a totally female-run organization. Do you know that?
Are bees run the same way, too?
Exactly right. So So the idea is, if you talk to the queen and figure out a way to do have a relationship with them, the same thing with any creature, it's their job to do. They have a job to do, and it's not their fault. They're screwing things up and making it really – they have to do their job. Ants are Mother Nature's janitors. When I first started doing ant treatments, almost the first.
Yeah, but I still draw the line at my borders. They enter my home, splash.
Right. So look, for ants.
Have borders.
Did you hear what I said earlier?
Boundaries.
Did you hear what I said earlier today that Muhammad Ali said? He quoted. He said. Rather than thinking about the deer, the coat, and the car headlight, I look at it. What the heck is that road doing in the middle of the forest?
Yeah.
So it's a different way to look at things. And so the ants are going, you know, we were here first. That's what territory. This is our territory. What you built there has nothing. We can go right through that and do whatever. It's our water. It's our food. What you're doing is ours. It's ours. And you have to basically, what I tell people, look, they have a perfect right to be here, and you have a right to be here. So wouldn't it be easier if you just make the ants go around you, they ignore you, they leave you alone? I say, I'd rather make them my allies than my enemies.
It's
easy.
Nice, yeah.
Right, yeah. So it works really well when you. That's why I call it dances with ants. See, ants have humans trained to feed them, to give them food.
I'm going to take it a step farther. Ants might have us trained, but I know of a few psychics. Or maybe they're mediums. No,
yeah.
They're shamans or something like that. But they'll actually, for a period of, I don't know, weeks, month or something, they'll, you know, come to your property and mentally or energetically remove them for you.
Does that work?
I don't know.
Yeah. And I'll give you some examples.
I'd love to see it work.
The way it works for me,
because people already think I'm crazy. This guy is absolutely crazy. And I think, Jerry, great, thank you. I'm in the good crowd. You know, that's fine with me. But I do react differently to different things. And that's pretty much what I do with the ants. On one level, you have to communicate with everything. You have to say, look, these people are nuts. It'd be better if you just leave them alone. They're only going to start spraying you with more chemicals. They're only going to hurt the earth that you so much care for. I know you have to do your thing. And let's figure out a way to just go around, make the ants go around your property. I've learned there's a couple of different ways to communicate with these creatures. And one of them is food, see? And one of them, you start killing the ants, you got their attention. You get their attention. And the other ways, you know, is through consciousness.
But I only have to get it once.
I know, right? And they go, let's get
my
out
dad
of
used
here.
To
let's
say
go
that
next
bad
door.
Joke, sorry.
Right. So I don't know what I'm talking about. I forget. Yeah.
I'm going to get off the phone now. So
she's going, and I'm going too, because I think we've been on 2 minutes longer than an hour and a half. I'm going to have to trim off the last.
True.
Thank you, Don, for coming on.
Thank you
very much for all listening in.
My pleasure. Enjoyed the fun. I truly did.
Yeah, it is fun.
Thank you.
All right. Take care now. Bye.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye. I'm going now. Here I go. I'm going. I'm not going yet. Am I going yet? Is it happening? Oh.